I wanted to look at that we didn't finish up with CSS. One of them is the position thing, and one of them is the center one column page and center two column pages. So I think we'll look at those, and then we'll go back to JavaScript. Okay, so this page obviously has a problem in that the green is on top of the blue, or the blue is on top of the green. What? All I want to do is take a picture. How did that do? That has nothing to do with notebook. Could not add the attachment into your notebook file. All right. Recommend you save your changes and start notebook. We start notebook software. I will never, ever, ever again say, ooh, that went well. Okay, so we're going to restart notebook software. Did save it, so we're in shape. Okay. Okay, what did I just do? I thought I read how to do that. Does anybody know how to do that? I want to open View Source, so I'm clicking on View Source. Okay, so now I've got the page over here, and I've got this over here. And I want to be able to have them together. And that's what I can do on Chrome, because I'm having problems with my Firefox at home. So if I click on this, right-click on this, it says move to a new window. But then it went on top of the old window.
You mean like split screen?
No, I don't even want to split screen, although I guess I could do that. But I more wanted to just, in the good old days, like in last semester, you could actually have both of those open at the same time, but that I could move around. I could move the code around so it wasn't a split screen, because sometimes a split screen doesn't want to work, and I could move the code around. So I read about it this weekend, and I swear that's what it told me to do. But now, if I look at this, I have that. And I have this, but now it's not, it didn't move it to a new window, it moved to an existing window, right? Am I nuts? Edit, select all. And this is the way I've been doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I kept forgetting to look up an alternative, and I looked up an alternative this weekend, and I actually tried it, I swear, on a computer that does have Firefox working okay, and it worked, but it didn't work here. Oh well.
Just hit inspect. Is that what you're trying to pull up?
This is what I want as a net result, but I don't want to have to go through the copy and paste into Notepad. Not that that's that bad, but it's an extra deep. And this is what I want, and I want What I want is them in two things, and I wanted two windows where I can do this kind of thing, which means more than a split screen. I mean, I'm not looking for the split screen exactly.
Could you have just done that when you had it, though, when you opened up the new window, because you just made
smaller? Well, if you minimize that screen and minimize that screen, you have two screens.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. When you opened up the new window, if you just made it, when you put that one in the middle of the X and the minimize, it would have just been in front. You could move it around.
What?
I hit inspect, and I just have the code on the right, and I just do it in there.
Okay. But does that give you the flexibility to drag everything around as much?
I think you just have to unmaximize the window.
Yeah, okay. Just unmaximize it. Yeah.
All right. I've got this one. So the next one, I will let you all give me directions as to how I should do this. All right, but right now I'm happy with what I've got, so we're not going to mess it up. Okay. So, notice I put different colors on these, mainly so I could keep track of. And the main thing that I'm doing here is blue has an absolute position. Okay? So that means that it's not relative to anything else. It's an absolute position. And the absolute position is I went down 200 from the top and in 40 from the left. Okay, so that's the absolute position. Then I said, okay, now I am going to put the next thing up, and the next thing is going to be red, and it's going to be relative. Okay, and you can look down here, and you can see that I have a class EX1, and that followed that. And then I have the next one going down is going to be the class EX2, EX3, EX4. And I'm pasting all of the same things on. So you don't really have to see that. So the next thing I said to write was EX2. Okay, so there down at the bottom, you can see me telling it to write EX2. And I said I wanted this position to be relative. And so relative means it started out at the top of the page. Okay? Then the next one I also wanted relative, but I wanted to be green. And so it wrote directly below the red one. And the fact that it wrote into the blue is not its problem. Okay? That's your problem. Because the blue was put there absolutely, and the green, red went on first, then the green, then I put on the purple one. And with the purple one, I made one change, and that is, I said, I want it to be down relative, but I want it to be down 100 pixels. If I had not put the down 100 pixels, the purple would have come right below the green. But I said I wanted it to be down 100 pixels, so it went down 100 pixels, and that's where I see it. Okay, so obviously this didn't work the way I would want it to work, but it's a matter of showing the difference between absolute and relative. Okay, so you can absolutely position something, or you can relatively position something. Questions? Okay, so now I want to look at the next one. And the next one is really hard to look at. Because there's too much going on. But there it is. Okay, and as I said, it has too much going on. Okay, so we're going to try this, and you're going to tell me what I'm supposed to do. So I'm saying view page source.
Drag it out of there too if you want.
Drag it out as into where?
Yeah, like anywhere on the screen.
So like this?
Yeah. Now just minimize that. Well, yeah. Not minimize, but demaximize it.
Oh. aren't you clever guys? Neat. Yeah. No, that actually works.
One less click.
Yeah.
Two less click.
That actually works. Okay. I hadn't thought about doing that. All right. So, what about if I, before I dragged it, if I'd minimized it, what would it have done then?
If you had, like,
it would have done to the whole page. You still have the tabs.
It would still be up at the top.
Yeah, because you still have to click over to each tab to see the code.
Okay. All right, so I have put in here some static, some absolute, some relative. Okay, so I put in a variety of different things. So the navy blue one, this is a static position, which is the normal type of positioning with style. Okay. And you can see that if I said this is going to be static, then the border color is navy. So that one is the one that has the border color of navy about it. And I don't think I changed the font color. No, I didn't. So it's just the border color of navy. So if you look down below, when I started to write, actually, I want to take a picture of the screen. I wrote, this is the page header. Okay, and there was no class involved with the page header. And then I wrote, this has static positioning, which is the normal type of positioning. And that didn't have a class involved in it either, so it didn't get the line around it. Then I wrote, this has static positioning, which is the normal kind, but I used the style static, which meant it got the navy blue around it. Okay. Then I wrote, this has absolute positioning. And in order to do that one, I have got the class, which is my absolute. So I've got to go up and find my absolute. And there's my absolute, which has the absolute position of that is going to be a solid border, medium width, orange border, and orange color. So it wrote that line right there. Okay. And then I wrote, okay, this has absolute positioning, and that was absolute one. And absolute one, wait a minute, my absolute.
Your absolute was red. Absolute
red, one is yes. Red. My absolute is red. And which one is it? This is it up at the top, I guess. This is absolute positioning. That's the red one. Okay, now I lost it. There it is. And there it is. Okay. So I first wrote the absolute, and then I wrote the absolute one. So the absolute is red, and it is left 100. I'd looked at the wrong thing. So I then wrote this absolute, and it is red and is in by 100 and down from 25, down 25. So it's down 25 from the top and in 100, and that's absolute. And then absolute one is absolute, solid, medium, and orange. And since I didn't give it positioning, it wrote on the next line. Okay. From where the things were going on. And then I've got relative, and I wrote the next thing with relative, and you can see it down below. This has relative. And then I kept going, okay, and just trying to put the things in. I'm looking at it, and the thing that I said, my fixed, I actually changed apparently to absolute when I was playing with it at some point. So I can change that to fixed. But the point here is, and you've really just got to go through it. You just really do, because I can't really show that up here. But the point is to take a look and change the fixed, the my fixed having a position of fixed. But take a look at how this works. And you basically have to just kind of look at it and see where these different things are going. So if you decide you want to play around with positioning, I would go in and look at this, or I'd make one of these of my own and just try it. Because you can see how the stuff goes. But it's really hard to demonstrate. It's really much easier if you just play with it. Okay. Okay. So the next one that I want to look at is center one column page. And that one's kind of interesting. Now, I did this and I played around with a bunch of stuff. It's not that you have to follow this. You can do different things, and I probably, when I was looking at it this weekend, I probably did a little overkill, but it works. Okay, so I'm going to look at view page source and do what you guys told me to do. Good job. Okay. First of all, if you look down at the code, I started out and I said, okay, ID equals container. So this whole thing is a division, and I said ID equals container. And then within the ID, within container, I have a header, a content, and a footer. And those are all ID. And remember, ID is only supposed to happen once. So those are all ID. Okay? And you can make them class. It doesn't matter. But lots of times people do the big picture with ID. And I think I actually did everything on this with ID because I didn't have anything that I needed to duplicate. But a lot of times the stuff that I did inside this, I could have done with class. But a lot of times people do something like this, where they say, okay, the ID is going to be container, and then within this division, I've got, if I can figure it out, I think this is the header, and then I started the content, and that's the content, and that's the footer. Okay, so those are the three things that I've set up within the container. So the container holds everything. It has an ID, it has content, and it has a footer. Okay? So I can then go on and set up what I want these to look like. Okay? And for example, you can see footer up here. Footer, I simply said I wanted text-align center, and I want padding at the top of 20 pixels. So that it goes down a little bit. But that's what I said I wanted for footer. Okay, if you go back up and look at header, I just said text align center. And the rest of it I worried about inside. And then for content, I said I wanted a particular background color. So you can see when you look at this that I centered the header My content has a beige background color, and I centered my footer. And those are the main things that I did up there. Okay. Then on the header, if I go back down and look at my header again, on the header, I put out the H1 line, and I put out the H2 line. Okay? And then I started another division within the header. I haven't closed the header yet. So I started another division within the header. And in that division, I put my links. So I called it ID equals navigate. So this is going to be my navigate. And I've got three things that I want to have on the navigate. Okay, so those are my three things that I want to have on the navigate. Okay, so now I said, okay, I want those three things. And I've got two things, and as I said, this works, but there's a lot of other approaches you could have taken. So I said, in the ID navigate, look at the UL and the LI. So I want the LIs within the UL to have a background to cover a background of navy and a display of inline. And then the A's, which are my AH references, I said display is an inline block. The list style type is none, so I wanted to get rid of having the dots or the 1, 2, 3 or the ABC that you have with an LI. I wanted to get rid of those. So I said the list style type is none. Text decoration is none because links tend to have underlining on them. I want to get rid of the underlining because I don't want them underlined. And I want to have them separated. So I set the border on the right of each of these, and I could have done it on the left, is going to have 2 pixels of solid white. Okay, so I made a border so that it separated them. Okay. Then I went down and said, okay, now I want to look at my content. If I'm up here, my content I've already said was beige, and now I said I want the text to be green in one of them and brown in the other one. So.
Well, I actually have a question.
Yep.
The border right, the 2 pixels solid white, is that just like the space in between them? Or?
Yes. Oh. Yeah. I'm saying on each of these, I want to set up a border to the right of 2 pixels.
Because you didn't do that, they just all be together in that
yes.
blue block?
Yes. So I set it up that I wanted a border to the right of 2 pixels on each one of them. And then down here under content, I said, okay, ID content WD, and that got me the green. And ID content MM, and that got me the brown. So that's how I got the green and the brown, was by changing and saying the ID is going to be the content. Now, probably I would have done class in a bunch of these. But as I said, I was playing around with just doing it with ID. Questions? This putting it up and having the container that has the header and the content and the footer is something you'll see on a lot of pages. You'll see them structuring that way. Okay, this is the container where I'm going to put everything. And then I'm going to break this down into the stuff I want at the top, which is going to be under header, and the stuff I want, the content, which is going to be under content, and then the footer. Okay. Okay, so now on the next one, I said, okay, I'm going to throw a little something extra onto that. So I went over, and the next one, I put this little thing over here. Okay, so that's the only thing that I really changed. So that thing I called a bar, and I said it was going to be part of content, okay? So it is part of my, no, it's not part of content. Take it back. Is it? No, I closed content. Bar is separate. So bar is over there, and bar is just writing that little message over on the side. So, if you look up at the top, you can see what bar is. Bar says, float to the right. So it's going to float that information to the right. Width is 140 pixels, and display it as an inline block. Which means, don't drop down to the bottom and display it inline. And so...
The width depends, like, that means, that, like, makes it how long it is. Right?
That's right. How wide it is. So,
but the distance is because of how many words you have in it.
Right. And where did I lose? There it is. I'm not sure I got the... ever moved that. I didn't. But it's over on the side, and that 140 is the... The 140 is how much room I'm putting aside for it. So this got pushed over and so forth. Okay, so the bar, there's the bar. So you can see that the bar is over there. And so I floated it to the right. I said how wide it was. Okay. And I lost it. There it is. I said how wide it was, and I just said display it as an inline block. What I would recommend doing is, if you're interested in making these kinds of things, is going home and copying them down and then seeing what happens. For example, see what happens if you take out the display inline block. See what happens if you do different things like that and really experimenting with them. Because that's how you learn this stuff, is playing with it. Questions. Okay. This is the last week before vacation. I will put up homework, of course. So, but I'll do it after I see how far we get today. But homework is due the Thursday after vacation. Okay? I don't put out anything that is due vacation week. So if you don't want to do anything on it, you have this week, then you can take next week off, and you still have until Thursday of the following week to get it into me. Okay, so I mean, I just basically pretend this next week doesn't exist. It is this next week, right? Right. That's the, yeah. So I just kind of pretend that week doesn't exist, so it's due the next Thursday that you're in class. Okay. Alrighty, so we're going to go back to JavaScript. Okay, this is a test. Where did we leave off? I know we did math decision, right?
I don't know. I remember the Hello Worlds. Oh no, I actually.
We went through this. I just don't remember how far we got. This is basically something that I do in both CIS 120 and here. we will get past where I go in 120 shortly. But this is kind of a duplicate. Does anybody remember whether we looked at this?
I think we did.
You wouldn't know, Yor, because you looked at it in 122, which is what my problem is. I know I went over this, I just don't remember which class I went over it in. You're hopeless. You, both of you, because both of you were in 120, so you're not going to have the...
Huh? I wasn't here last Monday anyway.
That's true. So does anybody remember whether we looked at it?
I don't remember. I know I've seen it because I've been in 120, so I can't tell you.
Okay, we could go to the SMAP one and see if it was up there, or I can just go over it again. And I think I'll just go over it again.
I don't remember it clearly.
Yeah, clearly it was not a big memory. Okay, the answer is 30. Okay, so I'm not even going to bother to maintain this because the answer is 30. That's what came out of this because I put in 506. Okay? So on this one, I entered in 5 and I entered in 6. Okay? So, again, prompts prompt the user for data. Now, we will get away from prompts fairly soon in this class. Probably not today, but the day after vacation we will. In CIS 120, I only do a little bit of JavaScript and I just keep prompts. I never get off it. I stay at prompts. But, in fact, if you try to run this in Explorer, it's going to yell at you about the prompts and... because basically they don't want you using prompts for security reasons. So essentially we're going to get into how to do forms. And forms are the way that you should take in data. Forms.
Oh, okay.
And forms are a better way of taking in data than having prompts come up. But anyway, we're working with prompts now. So we're saying enter the first number. So if I were to draw the logic of what I'm doing here, the first thing I'm doing is I'm defining my variables. Okay, so that is the very first thing that I do. I'm defining my variables. Then I'm putting out a prompt, and I have a parallel program for that, to get my first num. And then I'm putting out a prompt to get my second num. And then I'm putting out a prompt to get my what to do. Okay, so I've put out three prompts. And if you want to, you can put those all, if you were drawing the logic, you could just say prompt for and list the things you wanted to prompt for instead of putting out three prompts. Okay. Then, after I've done the prompts, I want to test what to do. So I'm going to say, is what to do equal to an asterisk? If the answer is yes, and again, we live in a black and white world. It's either yes or no. There's no maybes. Okay? So I'm saying if the answer is yes, then I want to do a multiply. And depending on how much information you want to convey in the logic flowchart, you can write out specifically what you're doing, or you can just write it that way. So I'm doing a multiply, or if not, I'm doing a divide.
What about on the what to do line? What's like the comma with two quotes after?
That means keep the box empty.
If there's nothing?
No, just show the box originally empty.
Oh, okay.
The two above that have the zero when it shows the box, it would be zero in the box.
Oh, since this one's words, you don't want zero.
Because I'm not asking for a number, so I just left it empty. I could have defaulted if I wanted to and put an asterisk there. And then it would have defaulted to showing the asterisk, and if I wanted to change it, I'd have to change it. I can put whatever I want there.
But doesn't it say enter asterisk or slash?
That's what the prompt says.
But not the box?
But not the box. There's a little box where you enter the data. Go ahead and run this. And when you run it, after the comma is what is in the data entry box.
Oh, it says it above the box. Okay.
That's right. And what is in after the comma in here is in the data entry box. It's the initial value of the data entry box. So now I am going to write answer. And then I'm going to stop. So, as I have said in the, and I should have written start at the top where I was starting. There are three kinds of things that programming can do. It can do sequence. It can do selection. And it can loop. And in this one, I've got both sequence and selection going on. I don't have looping because it does it only once. But I have sequence and selection going on. Okay, so the sequence is do one prompt, then do another prompt, then do another prompt, then ask a question. That's sequence. Selection is where I asked is what to do equal to an asterisk. Okay. Now, when I do comparisons, the equal sign means a sign. And the two equals means compare for equal. Okay, so up here I'm saying if what to do equal equal, I've got two equal signs. So I am comparing for equality. If I have one equal sign, which I do down below, the one equal sign is an assignment sign. So I am saying here, multiply first number by second number and assign it to answer. Okay? So what I'm doing here is I'm setting up areas in memory to hold the data, or to hold some data, to hold variables. So I'm setting those up, then I'm prompting the user to tell me what to put in those areas in memory. Then I am saying, okay, if the user enter an asterisk, I'm going to take what they enter and multiply it together and store it in answer. If the user enters anything other than an asterisk, I'm going to divide and store it in answer. So, following this logic, if the user enters an A, what do you do? On what to do. If what to do is an A, what happens?
You divide more.
You divide. Okay, you divide. Because I don't ask any more questions. I just ask one question. If what to do is an asterisk, multiply. Anything else, divide. I didn't ask if it was a divide sign. I just said, if it's not a multiply, then I want you to divide. So if they entered a plus, it would divide. If they entered a minus, it would divide. If they enter a Z, it will divide. No matter what it enters, it's going to divide. Yes, no, maybe? Any questions about this? The curly braces are around, this is what to do if the if statement is true, this is what to do if the if statement is false. And I enclose those in curly braces. When you look at things out in the world, there is a big tendency to put the kind of opening curly brace after the if statement and the closing curly brace after that. And the majority of the world works that way. So if you want to look like everybody else, do it that way. Okay? I lose track of curly braces if I do it that way. I like having the curly brace on a separate line so I can see it and I know it's there.
I agree with you. I think it looks better to me.
Okay.
You have a better view of what's going on.
You know, you can do either way. I don't care what you do. I do want you to know that that's a quirk of mine as opposed to how the rest of the... Well, there are a lot of people that do it that way, too. But I would say the majority end up not using separate lines for the curly braces.
You could do this with, like, if you wanted to be more specific, like you could do another if...
Absolutely.
Make that the divide thing, then everything else would just not work.
And everything else would not work, right. So we're going to actually look at that. Any questions? Okay, let's see if we can close this. Closing clear. Thank you. Okay, so here's the next one that I did. Okay, and so look at the one beneath it. It says something about math answer better. The only thing I did is what he just suggested. I add... It's always one of my favorite things. Has it gone away? Oh, it has. Good. If I check for an asterisk and I get a yes, I'm going to multiply. And if I don't, then I am going to check for a divide. So if you look over here, if it's an asterisk, do the multiply. Else, I'm sticking in another question. So I'm saying if it is a slash, then I want to do the divide. If it's not a slash, then I'm going to say problem. Okay. So that's what I've got, and then I write out answer at the bottom. Okay. So I write out what answer is down at the bottom. So on this one, I am asking the question, if it is a multiply sign, then do the multiply. Else ask if it's the divide sign. If it is, do the divide. And otherwise, write out the word problem. Okay, so... My first question, this is what I want to do if it's true. This is what I want to do if it's false. Everything below the else is what I want to do if it's false. Now, within that what I want to do if it's false, I have, if the second question is true, this is what I want to do. If the second question is false, that's what I want to do. And it is very, very picky about curly braces. They gotta line up. And so, even though a lot of JavaScript I don't bother to indent much, when I come to doing if statements, I indent so that I can see where the curly braces are, which is the other reason I like the curly braces on different lines, is that it makes it easier to line up and see them.
I have a question for you.
Yep.
It's kind of just which you prefer. I like Notebook++, but do you rather work in Notebook? Or
I think Notepad++ is probably easier to work with.
Okay.
I think Notepad++ is easier to work with. I don't know why. I just opened Notepad here. At home, I oftentimes use Notepad++.
I always see you use the other one.
But I'm also just showing. I'm not debugging.
Right.
What I like Notepad++ is when I'm debugging. Mm-hmm. Because for one thing, I can highlight one of these curly braces, and it will show me the matching one.
These curly braces are, like, confusing me a little. Because how come you have, like, underneath the L's, the first L's, how come that closes all the way to the bottom?
Because that's everything I want to do if I got a node, the first question. So, originally, I didn't have anything about this F. I just had a divide in there. So I had the curly brace, and the divide. Now I want to ask another question, so I plug in the entirety of the other question. That's the entirety of the other question, and I just plug in the entire other question. So, Notepad++ is helpful in that if you highlight one of the curly braces, it shows you where the matching one is. So if you lose track of your curly braces, Notepad++ is very, very helpful. And again, probably the main reason I use Notepad is because I'm not really standing up here and writing. Okay, I try very hard to avoid standing up here and writing because I make typos all over the place. We can go on forever with my standing here writing. Okay? We all try to watch me make my stupid mistakes. So I like to do those in the privacy of my home and give you the working product. And I prefer that you make your mistakes in the privacy of your home and give me the working product from you, too. Okay, so now, no, that one I don't want to do next, okay, so, well, actually, maybe I do. Now it would be better to do this one. Okay, we're going to do this, and so if I put in 12 and 4, and I put in a plus, it tells me there's a problem. Okay, so I get problem. So, now what I want you to do, and I have, 120 did this already. I want you to add in plus and minus. Okay? So I basically want my logic to be this.
Are we going back to the original one?
I'd stick with this one, with the better one, because you've already got two of them done. So I would go with that one. And it's decided I can't write anymore. So, what you're going to have is I want this, and if it's yes, you're going to do a multiply, and if it's a no, you're going to ask, is it a slash? And if the answer is yes, you're going to do a divide, and I guess I'm writing at the bottom, so these should be squares. And if no, I'm going to ask, is it a plus? And if it is, I'm going to do an add. And if the answer is no, I'm going to ask, is it a subtract? And if it is, I'm going to do a subtract. And if it's no, I'm going to put out the word problem. Notice when I'm joining ifs, I do it at the end, and I join the bottom one first and the top one last. So what I want you to do is to take a few minutes and write this program so that you can deal with plus and you can deal with minus. Okay? So copy this code down, I would at least, and then I would do the add the calculations in. Eventually, you're going to have to close that one, but it's... Notice how I have all of these close marks at the bottom? Mm-hmm. Those are all end ifs.
Yeah, so I can close them
all? Which are all curly braces.
So I can close them all at the end like that?
Basically, yes. So I'm asking this question, and if it's true, I do that, and if it's false, and then this one, if it's true, I want to do all of this. And I guess the false is down there. Okay. And then this one, if it's true, I'm going to do this. And if it's false, I'm going to do this. And then if this one is true, I'm going to do this. And if it's false, I'm going to do this. I got them all. I put in some extras, I think, there, but that's all right. I don't think I'll take a picture of this because I think I mixed it up. There's the flowchart if you want it without my curly braces, because I think I put one duplicated too much. Well, I guess I did it all right.
I solve a problem with my curly braces. It's not, I'm getting the white screen.
And it's probably the curly braces. Okay, so where are you going to put in the next if statement that you're writing? It's going to go in right there. Set a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to put that next if statement in there, right there, instead of the word problem. So I think I've got the right number. Now let's see if I get the white screen of death.
I don't think you do, because I kind of went with you and fixed mine and it worked. So.
Wait a minute, what did I just do? Who knows? Death of me. Yeah, no, whoever came up with that lovely idea of curly braces, as opposed to if, else, and if, you know, when it was a C problem. But my problem is, I taught myself to type keyboard, and I quit before I got to the chapter on special characters. Mm-hmm. So I always have to think about where the curly brace is. So end of the first number, I'll enter a 6, and I'll enter a 5, and I'll enter a plus, and that works. So now let me see, if I enter a 6, and I enter a 5, and I enter a negative, that works. And if I enter a 6, 66, I guess, 77, and an A, that works. Okay, so, yes, I got that working. Okay, so here's the solution I've got. Compare yours to mine. Mine's working.
You changed the... I mean, obviously, it still works, but I changed the what to prompt, like, say, minus or plus.
Yeah, no, obviously, yes. I should change that. So I should say, enter slash or plus or minus.
Like shows you the curly braces, but even if you have it wrong, it'll still like make like this one with that one and then make this one with a different one.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't tell you.
Debugging wise is it's good. And actually I think I use Notepad++ more at home, but for some reason. Or if I don't, I run into a problem, I quickly open it in Notepad++. Okay, the ad had to have the parse integer on it, a parse float, or number with a capital N, or a plus sign, or something that told it that it was supposed to add. So I have to put that in for my ad. Okay. Did people get it working? Yes, no, maybe, questions?
No, I know about the possible or parsing.
Okay. Anybody got any questions, problems, yeah. Whatever?
What, I mean, I remember parsing from 121, but I don't remember the difference between parsing and parse. Like, why do you need it, right?
Parse integer is an integer. Mm-hmm. So, I'm saying I only want to deal with parse integer. If I wanted to deal with decimals, I could say parse float. The reason is that a plus a plus means concatenate, and it also means add.
Oh, so since it has two meanings, you need to...
Yeah, and I need to convince the browser that it's add that I want to do, and the way I convince the browser of that is to convert to numbers, and then the browser is convinced that I want to do an add as opposed to a concatenate. And I'm sure there's a lot more better technical explanation for that, but I think of it as convincing the browser to do the right thing. Make sure that parse float has a capital F.
I have parse ints.
It's got to have a capital I.
I have it written in the way you have it written, and it's not.
Okay.
You don't have the capital there. You have P-A-R.
I have a capital I.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. And
that's a capital I.
Oh, capital
and
I.
And that's a capital I. And they have to be capitalized.
Sorry. Didn't see it.
That's okay. Anybody else got questions? Anybody want more time on it? Because I'm going to move on. Going? Gone.
I can't get it to work, but I'll do it when I go home.
Okay, if you had it working before, I'm not worried about it. Because you did
something. I still wanted to get it to work, so I'll just do it when I get home.
That's fine. But you did something foolish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'll find it.
Okay, so I'm going back and I'm looking at paycheck first, which is very much the similar thing. Enter the hours worked, I'll enter 50. Enter the pay per hour, I'll enter 40. Enter A, B, or C, I'll enter A. And the pay for the week is $2,100. Is 2,000, and then A added 100, but I put a capital A. Put a lowercase A.
I was going to say, I got 2,000, I got the same stuff.
You didn't put a capital A then?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Because look what it's checking for. It's checking for a capital A. An ASCII code for a capital A and ASCII code for a lowercase a are two separate codes. Okay.
So I was thinking the plus 100.
Yeah.
Could you change the programming to accept either or?
Yes, you can write it as an either or you could convert pay code to a uppercase. Use the upper function to convert pay code to uppercase, and so then you're comparing uppercase to uppercase. So whatever the user has, convert it to uppercase, and then you've got both. Or you can write it as a, we're going to be looking at ors in a minute. And you can write it as a, it's got to be equal to this, or it's got to be equal to that.
But uppercase, I think, would be less
yeah,
lines.
It is. Yeah. It's a better way of doing it, but you can do it either. So what I did here was I came in and said if pay code equals A, multiply hours worked by pay per hour and add 100. Else, if it's B, multiply and add 50. Else if it's C, multiply, add 25. Otherwise, if it's none of the above, just multiply the two together. And all of you who put something in other than capital A, B, and C simply got the two multiplied together. Okay. So this is basically the same thing as the one we just looked at. Because if it's A, B, or C, that's the same as where we asked before, is it multiply or divide or add or subtract? So it's basically the same program. Okay, and the other one is paycheck second. Enter the employee's name, Jane. Enter the hours worked, 50. Enter the pay per hour, 40. Enter A or B. So for this one, I said, basically, I decided on this one that I was only going to check A. Okay? B people are not eligible for review this month. I'm only reviewing people that have an A. So I came in and I did right up here, I got the base amount, pay answer equals that. Okay? In the previous one, I did that each time I did a calculation. here, I'm putting out a message, so I did it once before I went in. So then I said, okay, if pay code equals A, then check to see if pay answer is greater than or equal to 1,000. If it is, write okay, otherwise write up for review. Else, not eligible for review.
Okay, so in this one, I have got basically a little bit different logic because I'm asking, is it A? And if it is, I'm asking, is the pay answer greater than or equal to 1,000? And if the answer is yes, then I am going to put okay in the message. These both have to be true, so this is an and relationship.
What we looked at on the previous one was an or relationship. It has to be a multiply or a divide or a plus or a minus. But here I'm saying two things have to be true. So if you recall on the other one that we just looked at, I asked a question and then I did something. Here I asked a question and now I'm asking another question. So both of those have to be true in order to get the okay. So I ask, is it an A? If it is, I'm halfway there. But it's also got to have pay answer greater than or equal to 1,000. And if that's true, then it's okay. If not, then the person is up for review. And if the answer is no to the A, the person is not eligible for review. That they've got to wait till next month or whatever. Okay, and then I'm writing afterward. I'm writing out message. Okay, so on this one, I am asking if these two conditions are true. And if they are, I'm saying, then it's okay. Else, I'm saying, I'm going to put out a message about where they stand. Questions? Okay, the next one says how I can do an and. So I'm saying end of the GPA and I'll put in 3.6. End of the number of credits, I'll put in 50.
How many?
50. Okay,
so I entered in 3.6 and I entered 50. And it then did a check. Now notice and is written like this. That's and. Okay? Or, which we will see in a minute, is two pipes. So or is like that.
And the pipe is that thing right under the backspace. That's where the pipe is. On my keyboard, at least, there is a space between it, and it doesn't look like a pipe. On some keyboards, there is no space between, so it looks more like a pipe. But anyway, it's the uppercase right beneath the backspace. What?
I'm guessing that. And has a, like, just one and has a meaning because you use two, right?
Yeah. Probably.
That's the pipe? Is that what the problem is?
Pipe. So, here I'm saying, if GPA is greater than 3.5 and number of courses is greater than 45, okay? So I am standing here and saying, if the GPA is greater than 3.5, then I get to continue. And my next question is my number of credits greater than 45? That's a 3. Greater than 45, and if it is, then the person is eligible. If not, the person is not eligible. And this is also a not. Okay. So, what I've got here is if the GPA is greater than 3.5, and then I go on to the next question, and the number of courses is greater than 45, the person is eligible for whatever, advanced courses. If I get a no to either of the questions, then the ands aren't true. Because and this means both have to be true, right? So if I get a no to either of the questions, then I take the else. Because I'm saying this and this have to be true. If either of them aren't true, then I take the no. Okay. Now, the way I drew the flowchart, and in fact, the way this works, is if I get a no to the first question, it doesn't even bother to the second question. It's out of there. Because if I get a no to the first question, then it can't be true. Okay? So, basically, usually the way it's resolved is that I can't get both ends. Okay? The way this works, if you have two conditions like this, so I have the two conditions, GPA greater than 3.5 and NUM credits greater than 45. Okay. The way this works is if I have two questions, there are four possible answers. I can get yes to the first question, yes to the second. Yes to the first, no to the second. No to the first, yes to the second, or no to both of them. Those are the only possibilities. If I've got two questions, those are the only possibilities. So, what I've decided then is if I get a yes, yes, they're eligible. If there's any no's, they're not eligible. So, yes, yes gets me eligible. Yes, no. I'm going to write my N's here. Yes, no, gets me not. On this one, if I get a no to the first one, I never even ask about the second. So if I get a no to the first, it means not eligible. Because I never even ask about the second. Because if I get a no to the first, there's no use asking about the second. Okay? So that's how an and relationship works. or relationship works. Questions on this, and I'm specifically looking at you. Have you taken CIS 120? Oh, you have. Then I'm not looking at you. You're the only. You did. Did I have you? Oh, you took it online.
I took an online class.
Okay. All right. All right. So the rest of you, I know, have all taken 120 at some point, and 120 goes into the logic. So if you've taken it, then I don't worry about you anymore. But anybody at home that hasn't taken it, I'll worry about you instead. Okay, so the big thing to look at here, too, is what works for compound. If I say question A, whatever it is, and question B, and this is, I want to do one, and this is, I want to do two, and this is, I want to do two. Okay. That is eligible for using an AND. Because I am saying here, if A and B, then do one, else do two. Okay? Notice the no's to each of them got two. Now, if I had said A B 1 2 is this one eligible for a compound?
A compound? Or?
Yes, for a compound with the AND.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a compound. You have to have the same on both sides. You have to have the two.
That's right. So this one I can't do. I can't say if A and B, because if A and B, I'm going to do one else. I've got a problem down here because sometimes I want to do two and sometimes I want to do three. So I can't do a compound if I have this. I have to ask the separate if statements. Okay? So if the no's got me the same result, then I can go and do a compound. But if the no's get me different results, then I can't. Okay, I have to ask the questions separately. Questions. If you have questions, ask, because somebody at home is having the same question and really wishes you would ask. And probably somebody in class is having the same question but hasn't figured out how to ask it either. So you do your friends and classmates a favor if you ask questions. And I can't even talk into it then. Okay. I tried. Okay, why don't we take a few minute break? And then we will come back and look at ORs.